Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, and I feel like that is more present than ever. I mean, you could be a sports fan or a golf fan or just simply a fan, a person, and we're all kind of dealing with the same thing right now. It's been a real, I would say, strange, uncertain last few days, last few weeks, and it's really hit home the last, I would say, 48 hours. Of course, I'm Shane Bacon with Max Homa in Arizona on
my house.
Afternoon. Yeah, we're breaking protocol. They say never to post a podcast Friday evening.
Never.
It's a horrible time to do it, and we're doing it because
there's nothing else on.
Yeah, there's nothing to watch. There's nothing to really discuss live. And so, I mean, what else to do than to talk about what's been happening? And especially, you know, for us, it's been golf heavy. But we want to start by saying, obviously, this is a very serious situation. It's a very unusual situation, something we've never faced before. I don't know, in our nation's history, in the world's history. It's a pandemic. It's scary. The coronavirus has been wild. And I think everybody's just kind of sitting around waiting to see what happens next. And we're the same. I mean, Max, I think I'm speaking for the both of us. It's felt like we just wait. What's the next news that's going to break? What's the next update? You know, I feel like it's Friday. Wednesday feels like it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, an eternity ago. Yeah,
it seems like the theme that's been going on. But I wanted to start this by saying we're going to discuss golf because we're a golf podcast. We obviously understand that golf is a minuscule thing in the world right now. It is very unimportant. What we do for a living is unimportant. You know, we're just here to talk about what's been going on in our respective lives and our respective sport. And we're going to talk serious about it for a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of fun with it on the back end of this. And then we're going to try over the next few days, weeks, until things, and I for lack of a better term, want to say get back to normal. We're going to try to have fun with what we do because we started this podcast, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago with the intentions to have fun with our sport and the sport we both love and the sport we're both around a lot. So wash your hands, do everything people are telling you to do. You know, we're thinking about people that are infected and that people that are dealing with this that aren't feeling well. You know, thoughts are with you guys. And again, I mean, we're just talking about golf because that's all really we know what to talk about.
It's literally all we know.
That's all we know at all. Max, I just want to start here. I can only imagine in your career, and I say career, not just professionally, amateur golf, high school golf, junior golf, throughout what you've gone through in your respective sport and now your livelihood, what the last few days have been like. And I say that because you're an excited guy right now. You've been playing great golf. You've finished high in just about every event you've played in lately. You've had a chance to win a couple of them. You're getting a first crack at a Players Championship. And, you know, it's this unreal, call it a major, don't call it a major, whatever you want to call it. It's a great, great week to be a pro. But I feel like just from the start, you know, nobody really knew what was going on because we didn't know if you were going to play. You were getting text on Wednesday. So just from the start of the week, if you don't mind, kind of walk through in your life what it was like preparing for an event that had this much uncertainty around it.
Yeah, obviously an odd week. I want to re-preface just exactly what Shane said. Like, I obviously, and we obviously understand that this is a absolute minuscule issue compared to all things going on. I don't want anyone to misconstrue that. I understand that golf means almost nothing. I also agree that golf means almost nothing. I agree that even Shane's beautiful voice means almost nothing. Like, all of this means almost nothing. But I also believe that in times like this, we should laugh. We should do our best to find things that make us happy. So that's why we're going to talk about me not getting to play my first Players Championship. You know, it's like, it sounds so dumb, but that's why we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
so,
and just real quick, if you hear thunder in the
background, it is thunder.
It's been storming in Arizona for four or five straight
days. Which even might be crazier than this flu thing going around.
The weather here has just been wild. So if you hear something in the background, that's what it is. We don't get storms in Phoenix much, and I'm about sick of it. But so, you know, you're talking about the week, and I know, I mean, I texted you on Wednesday and I said, I think you could win. I mean, I said, I think this is a week. I feel good about what you're doing.
And I'm totally with you, dude. Like Wednesday feels like an eternity ago. And is it today Friday?
2 days.
It's Friday. So yeah, we got here. Obviously the whole virus thing was, you know, big in both the news and the social media world, but it didn't seem that real. And then I remember Wednesday night, President Trump gave his speech, and I was sitting in a house with a couple other golfers, and we watched it, and all of a sudden it started to feel very real. Felt very weird going to bed Wednesday night. I felt very uncomfortable playing golf on Thursday, not because of the interaction I was going to have with people, just because I felt like it didn't look great. I got to the golf course on Thursday morning. I met, I was in the locker room. I was with another golfer who was a bit more, obviously a bit older, like a veteran player. He came up to me. He said, "Max, I'm old." He's like, "I want you to tell me how this looks to the common world."
Yeah.
At this point, he goes, "I'm not on social media," and I said, "I don't think it looks good." And he goes, "Is it because it looks like we're a bunch of kind of older?"
out of touch,
old white men is basically what he said. And I said, "I think that's exactly what it looks like." And he goes, "Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I get it." And I said, "Okay." And whether I agree with that or not, it doesn't matter. I personally believe that that's what we look like in that moment. As Rudy Gobert went through what he was going through, I think that was all
Wednesday night.
And it all happened so fast. And in my mind, it flipped so quickly. So we get to the golf course Thursday morning, and obviously I'm trying to lock in for my first Players Championship. And selfishly, I want to go play the best golf I can play. And at the same time, I'm also not shaking hands with anybody. I'm not dapping anybody up on the fairway. I walked up to Paul Casey, who I know, and I touched him with my elbow as he touched me. You know, it just was like, it was a weird feeling. I also thought, I guess, oddly, that golf is kind of the best thing to do. I can create separation from my competitors with the fans. I can create that. I also felt sympathy for the fans who had to, but were so close together. My wife is watching me. I texted her in the morning. I said, "Please do not touch anyone you see." Like, it was an odd feeling. I wanted everyone to be safe. Obviously, my family selfishly first. So it was a weird morning, but then also you get into play mode and you're like, I'm grinding, I'm playing. I played a very tough round of golf. I put it together. I shoot 2 under, and all of a sudden I'm off, and it's my first Players, and I'm thinking, man, let's get this thing going. I have a chance. But at the same time, you finish the round, and your mind is immediately on the people who are dealing with the struggles of this virus, and it's hard to get your brain split in two like that. And I, every time I felt good about what I did, I felt bad about the fact
everything
that I
else.
Felt good.
Yeah. So
about that.
So, you know, you're talking Wednesday night, obviously there's the president's address. There was all the NBA stuff seemed to happen at the same time. There was the game and they pull the guys off and then they cancel the games. And then there were games to be played. They were supposed to be played. They got canceled. And then Silver comes out and goes, "No more NBA." And that was breaking. And I think that, you know, there's moments, right?
It was a domino. That was
sure,
a domino.
That, and there was the Tom Hanks news. And I think we, especially in this country, you know, you need these moments to hit you in the face.
Sure.
To show you how big of a moment this is. And those were the moments I feel like that really happened, especially if you were a sports fan. I mean, I'm a sports fan. You're a sports fan. These are the things we pay attention to. So all of that's going on. I feel like as I read the internet and I listen to other podcasts, it seemed like the consensus is maybe golf shouldn't have happened. And I feel like that's a fair criticism of what did happen, especially when you look back on it. I mean, I'm glad they canceled it after one round.
Right.
I'm glad they pulled you guys off. I feel like what we're seeing, the news that's breaking, how much this potentially could affect everybody, I think it was important to just say, listen, guys, it's not the time. It's not the place. But what I'm interested in is you're breaking this down as a golfer, and golfer seems like a word that doesn't matter, but golfer is your job. So basically this is your profession. You're having a great year. You know, you're finishing high. You have a chance to win. You're playing in a big event, which I, on a tough golf course, which I've always felt like tough golf courses help you. because you like to play the tougher golf course. You've played well this year when they've been tougher. I mean, you know, you think about the way Riv played. You know, you think about Florida. It's just been like those courses seem to bring out the best in you. When you're in the locker room and players are talking, how much different was it for you prepping for the round with all of this noise going on in the background?
Yeah, the morning was odd. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I went to bed uneasy. I woke up uneasy. And again, not uneasy about me, just uneasy about the world. I felt like it looked odd that I was playing the game, but also I wanted to be a competitor. I wanted to go out and do my best. So you're just kind of like conditioned like that. I think that the criticism of Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour is completely unfair. I think that we deal with a completely different sport. There's no non-contact. I think that 2020 is a hindsight is obviously something that people can go by. Obviously if things had to be handled completely perfectly, we would have had no fans on any day, Monday through Thursday. And I would assume that Jay Monahan would say the exact same thing.
Yeah, but now, I mean, to your point now, when you're looking
now,
back
but
on,
at
on
the
Friday,
time,
Saturday, right. I mean, everything
time,
changed so fast.
For sure. It literally Wednesday night changed.
That was the night.
Everything. It went from me thinking that this is a pretty big deal to me thinking this is the biggest deal.
Right.
And I'm assuming that the same thing happened for Jay Monahan. So,
and I heard, you know, I've heard a couple of podcasts, and I thought something that made sense to me on this point that I've heard a couple people say is, what a bad hand. And when I say bad hand, I mean, when you talk about, and again, this is golf specific, but when you talk about the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour's crown jewel,
dude,
which is the
this is our Masters. As far as the PGA Tour,
when the PGA
it's
Tour
a tough
talks
spot,
about it,
man,
and you talk about technology, what they put into it with that show every golfer thing that the Masters rolled out last year,
yes.
That was implemented in the Players. I actually watched you, by the way, on that.
Thank you.
Which it was really wild because it was no announcers and it was just
yeah,
you guys,
just me and the
and I, and I watched it on my Apple TV. But this there are so many balls in the air for everybody
for sure.
involved. That it's very hard to go, you did it wrong.
I try to equate it to this. And I know this might be a little bit unfair, but I'm gonna put it out there. If you are like my wife, if you are a realtor and you have been waiting on a sale for a very long time, a big house, custom house, private lot, and this thing could be your crown jewel, like you said, and all of a sudden they're in town and you can sell them on this, and it is absolutely that time. You're close to the finish line. All you got to do is wait it out 3 days. And all of a sudden something happens with them and you have to back out. That's your duty. That's your civic duty. Well, are you going to do it? Do you have the gusto to be like, hey, you know what? There's better things than this. I'm going to pull out. I would like to think that I would say yes, but I will tell you that the moment I got that text, I picked up a pizza with my wife and my dog. And I brought it back to the house. And the moment I got in the car, my wife, Lacey, said, hey, Players is canceled. And you know what the first thing out of my mouth was? It was the F word. As loud as I could say it. Because I wanted to win that dang thing as much as anyone
wanted
to win.
Wait, did Scotty get pizza?
Scotty didn't eat pizza. She eats the crust.
She eats the crust?
The crust. No cheese on it. Because, you know, you don't want to stomach rumble.
Full disclosure. And
Scotty's sitting right
here. Max is going to be super bummed out. Scotty is sitting by me.
By you, yeah.
This seems to be a trick.
Hey, listen. Enjoy. Enjoy. She loves bacon.
I can understand that.
But yeah, so
and
it was
pizza crust
and pizza crust. So, again, we preface this whole thing with I understand there's a lot worse things. I understand that golf is such a small issue or a small blip on the radar. I promise you that I truly grasp that. But if you want my personal reaction, that's what I first thought
of. Of course you're going to be bummed out. And I think
goals in my life, and that was one of my goals, and I got off to a pretty decent start and I wanted to keep it going. So
and that's
my honesty.
So your year has been let's go more than your year. Let's say the last 12 months of your life.
Dude, honestly, and I'm sorry to interject. I know you're a pro and this is like this is like why we all love Shane. I'm going to interject a little bit. This is what I was thinking about when I played the worst golf in the world in 2017. I was like, I'm going to get to the Players Championship. I'm going to get to the Masters, and I'm going to show people what the hell I'm made of.
Right.
Like, that's what I want. So, like, like, that's what this moment as I'm picking up a pizza means to me. Like, it means a lot to me, man. Like, it, and again, it means less to me than it does my the safety of my wife and you and your wife and all my friends. Like, this means way little, but at the exact
the moment fire is burning, that it happens, man. I know. If,
yeah, you I don't, know. You want to play, and that's why I give Jay Monahan a lot of credit.
Right.
To pull the cord on this is harder than you think, because we were all there. We were all ready to play golf. Like, we were ready to do this thing, and again, we could have had no spectators for a couple of days, but that's a hard trigger to pull. Like, I'm all in on what he did. I think it takes a lot of guts to do to pull the cord after we had played a day. Yeah. I respect him.
I was saying you were trying to be a hairier Craig Perks.
Oh, man. I'm down with it, man.
You're trying to be a hairier Craig Perks. You're trying to take down the players. Again, this goes back to your year, because I know that this year was big, and we've talked on this podcast about your confidence in the way you've played lately, how comfortable you are on tour. You mentioned your checklist. You're getting the players. You have the Masters on the horizon. Now, all of that is uncertain. We don't know when the Masters, if it'll even happen at all. We don't know when golf will return. How do you, Max Homa, stay sharp? And when I say sharp, I'm not talking about your game, mentally as well. How do you keep whatever has been firing between the years over the last 8 months, 12 months? What do you do now to keep yourself in a place to where when the bell rings and you're back on the golf course, you can go back out there and feel the same as you felt on Thursday?
Honestly, it's a phenomenal question. I don't think that there's a right answer to that. I think that I just kind of harken back to all the times that I kind of practiced as I grew up and as I came up the ranks. You just kind of like understand that that's part of your genetics, that you're just always going to be ready. I'm going to play with you in a member guest.
Yeah. I think that'll sharpen your skills.
Yeah. But honestly, oddly enough, like I remember my dad saying it, my dad's friend saying it as I was younger, like, do you ever just play this for fun? And I'd say, no, dude, like, I don't play this for fun. I play to learn. Like, I play for fun a little bit when you and I play.
Yeah, but I've seen you get frustrated when we play because you want to hit every shot great.
I want to get better. It goes back to the Matt Everything that I think was one of the best quotes in the history of golf is on 5 at the Honda Classic. He hit 3 balls in a row in the water and he kept practicing hitting a 5-iron cut against the wind. Like, I think that is as important as they come for golf. Like, you need to work your tail off to be better at the game.
You mentioned in the last podcast, Joe having that conversation with you about Bay Hill. You know, let's get in more rounds. Let's make cut so we give ourselves
regardless
a chance.
Of now, the finish.
You didn't know you're going to go out there and fire a great round on Saturday. Sure. But, you know, reps. And reps is not my favorite word in sports because I think it gets thrown around
Tiger,
a lot.
But these
are reps, man. And I mean, even same thing as Sawgrass. That's a tough golf course.
Sure.
And you were trying to get your reps in while you were trying to compete. You know, no, playing 5 rounds there versus playing 2 rounds there. The next time you see
it. Yeah, it's helpful for sure. I mean, you know, you obviously do all the U.S. Open, all the U.S. Open coverage, and the U.S. Opens are the most unique. And a lot of people think it's because it's the hardest. Well, you know what else? We don't see those golf courses ever. I mean, I've never been to Wingfoot.
'06
I've never
was
even
the last
thought
time
of it.
I was there. That
was
a long time
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. When I played the U.S. Amateur at Chambers Bay, Chambers Bay was legitimately just like this like weird dream golf thing that we showed up and people were trying to explain it to you. And you're thinking to yourself like, oh my gosh, like this is so bananas to think that like this is a golf course. Then you play it. And then when I watched it for the U.S. Open, I was like, oh my gosh, I can see these shots. And then all of a sudden they changed the next year to Erin Hills, where I've also been. And I'm laughing because I played in the wind and they didn't. And all of a sudden you're watching Brooks Koepka win a U.S. Open on a golf course that no one could possibly grasp. And everyone's saying it's so anything. And you're like, okay, you need to go there before you can make it. But that's the beauty of these places. And that's the beauty of the players. That's the beauty of the majors. Like, that's why we love them so much, because you don't know what you're getting into. And that's also the beauty of the Augusta, because any year you do it, it's going to be kind of a crazy golf tournament. Even though you've seen it 50 times, it's going to be a little bit different. And that's why you want to play every golf tournament as much as you can. And that's why, for me, the players, obviously it's disappointing. And that's okay to say, because I didn't get to have my reps on it.
Right.
And it's going to you know, next time I play it, hopefully next season, I'm going to have to not relearn it, but I'm going to see it for the third time.
This is a sentence I think everybody at home is going to at least take to heart. You were supposed to play Augusta National on Monday.
Bro, that hurts.
You are going to play a Masters or 10 or 20 or 30. You've never played Augusta.
No.
You were supposed to play on Monday. Now you're sitting in here with me.
I will trade this. I mean, I do love Shane, and I have my friend Josh here. So, and my dog.
Josh
so
is in the other room.
I'm a very happy camper as far as that goes. But again, I'm going to preface it again because I know that people cut these things. I understand there are worse things in the world.
I brought it up, man. I'm bummed for you.
This hurt my heart only because I think there's very few jobs out there where you work for, I'm 29 years old. I've worked since I was six. When I remember Tiger Woods winning the Masters in 97. I've been working to play that golf tournament since I was that age. And not only that golf tournament, that golf course. And, you know, Joe also has been working.
Your caddy.
That's what I was going to tell everybody was I got to play with Joe. We got Johnny Harris, who basically owns all of Charlotte and Quail Hollow, agreed to take us out there and give Joe a practice round while he got to actually play golf at Augusta. And dude, it hurts, man. It hurts because he's one of my best friends in the whole world. It hurts because I personally want to freaking go play the golf course. And it hurts just because I'm playing the best golf I've played in a long, long, long time, if not ever. And the Masters is right around the corner. And I truly, whether you believe it or not, I truly believe that I could win that tournament.
Go full fuzzy.
And I was ready for him. And I do believe that I'll be ready for it when it does resume. But this Monday was a big excitement for us. We've been looking at the weather for the last couple of weeks. We've been very much stoked on it. And it hurts. It hurts me more for Joe. I'm going to play this golf course. I know that. I'm going to play the Masters. Joe, I hope with all of my heart we can set this up again because he deserves this, man. Like he is an unbelievable friend, an unbelievable person, an unbelievable caddy, and he absolutely deserves to play Augusta. I mean, I know he's a short-hitting lefty, and we don't all put enough respect on those people, but gosh, he deserves it.
We're gonna take a quick break and be right back. Now I want to get into some fun stuff that happened over the week. There's a few things. I saw the shot our boy hit on 17, the closest to the pin.
He's so good at golf, man.
But I want to start with this. You played with the No Lane Up boys.
Oh, we crushed.
You and Joe played which of the guys?
So we played Solly, Neil, Tron.
And you guys won?
No. We won. I said no because I was just wondering if like between the time I said no and the time I lost my train of thought, we could like come up with a better word for no. But like no, like it was just no. Like we won by a trillion.
It was like Usain Bolt running against me.
Yeah, it was that big. It was worse. It was like Usain Bolt running against Josh. Josh.
These shots fired.
You can't say anything.
Josh doesn't have a mic in here. He's just trying to enjoy himself.
It was bad.
So are you more confident in you and I versus the five of them?
And they did say on the range, they're like, and they rep how good they are. Like they really did say, they're like, yo, you know, just so you know, they're like giving the whole backstory. Like you guys are in a tough spot because X and Y and Z. And then they also said that maybe by saying this, that they're actually kind of leading themselves too far into this. And now we're going to listen.
Big confidence from Max right now.
Listen.
There's all the confidence.
I read a tweet a long time ago that said Max could be all of them by himself. And I thought that was the dumbest thing ever. Check this out. I could have. I truly could have.
So
we're back on. Shane, we're back on, baby.
And some bulletin board material.
We have some bulletin board.
So on the closest of the pin, let's run through the shot. First, what club did he put in the bag?
Yeah, so Joe is a lefty. I'm obviously a righty. So tough spot for him. I mean, he has to bring a club. He can bring as many as he wants, but like he has to carry the bag for the ball back nine. So he brought one. Smart. in my opinion.
What club?
He brought a pitching wedge.
Pitching wedge.
Well, so we get to the court. He's also a smart guy. He texted Kessler, Patrick Reed, Scotty, and said, how far is it? Because he played in the morning, and he said 123. So he's like, all right, pitching wedge. Well, when we get out there, he checks the wind, and it's down off the left, which means Joe doesn't – to all you guys that are big old macho men saying 120, I hit a lob wedge. Well, listen, Joe doesn't, so lay off him.
Got to have some finesse.
He has a little finesse. And he would also beat you all at golf. So he was a little nervous on the range about how the pitching wedge is going to be a little bit too much club down off the left. Again, lefty down off the right. He's going to cut it a little bit. Like, it's going to be an issue. So he hit a couple balls on the range, found his little feel. But as we're getting closer to the 17th hole, he again, props to him. Didn't seem nervous at all. Aaron Fleener, who ended up winning the thing, super nervous.
Really?
Like, freaking out.
He was playing with you.
He was playing with me. Yeah. JT Poston's caddy.
We had a social media request from a couple of you that when we mentioned caddies to make sure we say the players' names.
JT Poston is Aaron Fleener caddies for JT Poston.
Perfect.
They're both the best dudes in the world. Aaron truly didn't think he had him, but God bless him. So we end up turning for 17. We get to the tee. Joe started to get a little more nervous. I will rep Joe till I die.
How many yards too far is that walk from 16 to 17?
50 to 100,
okay,
as they say.
Did you feel like Joe
Can I tell you this really quick?
Yeah.
Didn't feel that far. Like, Joe asked me on Thursday on the back nine.
Out McIlroy on the
We
pod?
Might be a little bit, yeah.
Should we get a rivalry with them going as well?
Rory, you're going to forget this in the 5 weeks between now until I see you next, but I don't love your quote. It's not that bad.
So now we're taking on the no lane up guys at golf, and now we're going after Carson and Rory on their podcast.
I'm way less nervous about the no lane up boys. I'm way more nervous about Rory. More intimidating.
So you guys do the shorter than said walk.
So we do the shorter than said walk. We get to my tee. I can tell Joe's talking a little faster, thinking a little faster. You know, his beard is kind of fluttering in the wind. Things are moving quickly. So I hit my shot. No big deal at the green. As we do as professionals.
That doesn't mean you hit it on the green. At the green is at the green.
No, I hit it on the green.
You said at the green.
Oh, well, I hit it on the green.
Did you hit it at the green as well?
Both, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, both. Both at and on the green. Then we walk over to the tee for Joe. It's, like I said, 123 yards, 120 front edge. He only has one club. So everyone kept asking me, like, will you caddy for Joe? I'm like, sure, yeah. I mean, he has one club.
Right.
So, like, this is the easiest job ever. So he teed it up pretty high. He said he was going to finesse one in there. I told him just to kind of, my words were fillet. Again, going back to all this, me and Joe get each other. So, like, he knew what fillet meant.
You don't say, can you just real quick tell the people the terminologies you don't like, that the caddies?
I don't like baby. I don't like soft. I think they all have negative connotations.
Perfect.
I want you to have an aggressive mindset. Joe also doesn't draw one. And what I told Joe was if I had my druthers, I would have said draw one against the wind to kill a little distance. But Joe doesn't like to draw it. So I told him to fillet a little one, which means kind of like a soft cut. For a lefty, and I want him to ride the wind a little, but with a little less speed. So, Joe, the athlete that he is, my hero, gets up there. He literally picked it off the top of the tee, a little fillet job, landed it 8 feet right of the hole, bounced to 10 feet, stuck right in there. I know he didn't win the thing, but I want everyone to know that he walked up to the green. He grabbed my putter right-handed. Again, he is left-handed, and he rolled that sucker in.
He made two.
He made a two with a right-handed putter. So anybody who wants to come at Joe forever about the fact that he doesn't hit it very far, the fact that his head is super big, the fact that his beard is not well-kempt, all these things you can come at him for, but he will beat you at golf, I promise.
This is going away from this. Because I think the compliments are there. I think you nailed all the compliments. When you're on 17 Monday, Tuesday, what was your practice round routine?
I played
this week?
Front nine Tuesday, back nine Wednesday.
How many tee shots do you hit on 17 on Tuesday?
Well, I played the front nine on Tuesday.
Oh, so how many did you hit on Wednesday? How many did you hit?
Hit one.
You just hit one ball.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
But I know, but you know, they
no. So, I'm just playing. I hit one. We wanted to get out of the way for, like.
Gotcha.
The show, which was Joe. And then apparently Aaron Fleener.
Yeah, so Fleener won. How close did he hit it?
2 feet 9 inches. It was awesome.
Unreal. Almost went in.
Last year, he bladed it so hard that it never got above the bulkhead in front of the green, and it just nailed it. This morning, that morning, he hit four. I mean, Aaron, I'm going to preface this. Aaron is one of my best friends. So is JT Poston. So, like, we hang out a lot.
Wait a minute.
I know you have this best friend thing.
This is the Max thing. This is a Max thing he says, and I'm sure you've heard it on the podcast. Everybody's Max's best friend.
Everyone's my best friend. It's okay. All right. Hey, we're in a world of turmoil. Everyone could be my best friend. enjoy being my best friend. But Aaron is one of my closer friends. JT Poston is also one of my closer friends.
Now you see how he changed his terminology?
Well, yeah, I have to, because Shane makes me feel so uncomfortable. I'm so sorry to everyone that has to be downgraded from close or to best friend to close friend. But Aaron was a little bit nervous, and Shane literally 4 wedges on the range and started sweating.
Did he really?
Yeah, he started sweating. So hi, Lacey. My wife has just walked in the room. So he was a little bit nervous, and if I'm being quite honest with you, I thought that if anyone was going to win, it would not be Aaron. And the guy going out there, he flinched a little. He hit it 2 feet 9 inches, and he is my hero.
He was pumped.
But what was so funny is we get on the green, and a few other caddies come walking out from the tunnel from 18 to 17. They're walking backwards or whatever. They're doing, caddies stuff, I guess. And one of them was Gino Benali. And a couple other guys, and Gina, and they start cheering, going nuts. And Aaron looks at me and he goes, "Oh man," he goes, "I totally forgot." I'm like, "What'd you forget?" He goes, "I have to split the purse with all the guys I'm staying with." He goes, "I thought it was safe because I didn't think I'd be the closest."
So it's a big jar of
big
money,
jar
right?
of money. All the pros donate money to it, whether you think they're gonna.
Your
do well or not,
that, right?
You put some money in,
and it all goes to the guy that won it. But then they got to split it. So I'm sure they had a fun house.
Split it,
for
it gets
a couple
but
of days.
Aaron thought he had it all. It's like, remember, it was split four ways.
It was a Fleener win, and it was a great shot for Joe. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with.
I might be coming out of the break.
We're going to come back with something a little different that we don't normally do. All right, we are back. It is Friday afternoon. You're probably listening to this over the weekend. And
speaking of the weekend, whoa. Segway guy.
That is a good segue.
The British Open has weekends, do they not?
Wow, is that really your segue?
Speaking of the
That's
British
really
Open,
your segue?
This is a three-layer. You know, this is a three-layer segue.
I'm trying
Shane.
To prepare you for your inevitable move in the television. And we're gonna really have to work on the segue right there.
Speaking of
ahead.
Segways, Shane.
What else has segues?
I have segues. So Shane, I had an interesting question last week after the pod about you.
This
I wanted everyone to understand that this podcast is not about interviewing me. I would rather honestly not have to answer questions about why I shanked a ball into a tower.
That was only 30 minutes of the podcast.
I would rather ask a question about Shane's caddy experience at St. Andrews. I think that we can all agree that that is a pretty awesome job as far as jobs go. So I would like to know, Shane, not only your best stories, but how you felt like about working at St. Andrews on the coolest golf course that.
Have you played it? Have you ever played?
Oh gosh, no.
Have you played Scotland? Have you ever played Lynx
Golf? No, never been.
Are you now?
I'm a newbie.
Let's just assume that the
even when I try to be an interviewer, you ask me questions.
I'm just more interested to see
this is why you're a pro.
But have you let's just say the schedule gets back on track in May? Do you have any events planned over there?
The British Open.
Well, I know, but are you going to go? You know, people go over there a week early and play Scottish.
I would love to go over.
Okay, so. I went over there when I studied abroad when I was in college in London.
At the University of Arizona.
Right, but I studied at
the University of California, Berkeley.
Yeah, I was definitely not smart enough to go there.
Samesies.
U of A, way easier to get into. So I studied abroad, and my uncle flew over. He'd never been to Europe, and we went to St. Andrews, and we played the old course, and I fell in love with it. You've never been to St. Andrews. It's a very, very, very small town. And I don't think you really understand how the golf course is basically the thing there. It's centrally located. It's kind of in the middle of everything. you walk by it when you go get your groceries or when you go to a bar or get dinner or whatever. And so I fell in love with the place. I had a friend that lived in Scottsdale, went to U of A. He was my best friend. Shout out Will Fralick. And Will had caddied at Estancia here in North Scottsdale when he was in high school. And he'd had a couple of friends that were Scottish caddies that would come over in season and caddy here and then go back.
And they
to
do
Scotland.
Say that Estancia is the St. Andrews of Scottsdale.
Most people say that. I would say most people here always say it reminds me just of the old course. One, very friendly fairway. So we graduated and we're like, what do you want to do?
Yeah,
and
let's
We used to sit on our roof. We would sit on our roof in Tucson. We would pull chairs up there. We would pull music up there. You could make a record player joke if you want. And then we would...
Oh, you had a record player?
No, that's...
I like thought you had person. To like hire like an old someone person. To sing.
Hire a band?
Yeah.
You guys come play?
Yeah, yeah. I thought you had roof. To like, you know...
That was before send technology.
A, send a like nail mail to somebody to like sing to you while you're on the roof. Well,
we probably had like 30 beers one night. We're like talking about what we're going to do
oh,
when we
wow,
get done with school. We're like, let's go to Scotland. And let's work there. And so we went over and didn't have jobs. We just were going to go over there and see. We got over there and met with a caddy master, and he basically gave us jobs. He was a fan of American.
Was a backup job to like be a bartender?
Yeah,
I
basically.
Feel like that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were thinking. I've never tended bar before. I've
okay,
never done any of
that.
That
would have been a, I mean, St. Andrews, awesome. Tending bar, way cooler.
Well, we were just thinking that if nothing else, we could do that. I mean, we're capable of hopefully being able to pour a drink and figure that side of the world out.
Instead, you ended up being able to drink them after a good day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got a job. I'm not kidding. We got a job in like a day and a half. Like, we were on the golf course. I'd played it once. Will had never played it before. We're in the same group.
Did Will
for this
lie
group.
About playing it? Did he?
I mean, I
say?
Think, I, you know, Will's a pretty honest dude. I'm not sure if he would say, I've played here before, but I think it's one of those where you just don't
see,
tell him the other side. You know, where
on
you,
TV.
Yeah, you know, you go, I remember this
hole. I've seen this one. Oh, this is the road hole course.
Is this the one with the road? So, you know, we had like books, but I mean, dude, the old course. There's
yeah, so how's the first round go?
There's tees where you don't even know which way to point the golfer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like two,
so are you
three.
Making it up as you go the first day you're out there?
You know, when you caddy, you realize that the majority of golfers that come and
stink.
Play are not very good at golf. You know, I mean, you're talking double-digit handicap, high.
Not everyone hits it 494.
No, not many. And so it took a little bit of time, but we... You know, we learned it, and Will's a really smart guy, and he dove into it, and he's unbelievable at that job, by the way. He's super personable and gets into it. And we would caddy twice a day, 4 or 5 days a week, and then we would go play golf at these random places around St. Andrews. That was basically our summer. I have two stories. One is, and you'll see it when you play there, 7 and 11 basically crisscross each other.
Right.
So
that's the start of the loop or whatever.
Yeah, but when you're playing in the open over there in a couple of years or whatever, you guys are really good at golf and you have a system.
Sure.
When you're caddying on a random Thursday and you've got a 25 handicap.
No system.
Not a great system. And you're pointing a guy off to a bunker and he may or may not hit it within 30 yards of that bunker. So I got a guy in the fairway going to 7 and 11's the par 3. So 11's left green, same green, 11's left green. A little known fact about St. Andrews, you may know, all of the double greens add up to 18. So 7 and 11 are combined adds up to 18.
Math.
There you go. So 7.
Sick.
So, I mean, it is where the flag is on 7 versus
on the left.
On the right. Where the flag is on 11.
On the left.
Is 70 yards away, right?
Okay.
So the guys are putting out on 11. My guys.
And you're saying we're good to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
7.
I mean, we have 8 on
fire.
You know?
You said we.
I know.
Everyone, write it down. He is a club caddy and said we. So every time after, he makes fun of me.
Oh, goodness.
Enjoy. Go ahead. Why did we hit 8 iron on 7?
So my dude, low snap hook right at the group putting. And we are all just screaming for, right?
We are.
As loud as we can scream. Everybody, other caddies, everybody's going nuts. The guy's over the putt, right in his back on the fly.
Hit him?
No flinch.
Oh, no.
Doesn't flinch. Makes the putt. Doesn't flinch.
No way.
Knocks the putt in.
The Euros are so cool.
Then turns around.
Flips the bird.
No. He just was, you know, he turns around. We're like,
no bird.
Getting hit on the fly.
hurts.
We didn't have gift cards to hand out. Like, we
no gift cards.
We didn't have gloves to sign. It was just pound him in the back, and he got hit right in the back, and he made the putt. And I was
all I could think was, this is the
toughest human on the planet.
That's
that guy right there.
Yeah.
My other story is, what I learned was, they'd give you a tee time. You have a number. That number was a tee time. So your 9 a.m. tee time. You didn't have a player assigned to you. You just went up there and you grabbed a player.
Yeah.
So there'd be four caddies, four players. You could go grab whomever. You grab who's left, whatever.
You find the best.
And so what I learned was that
single digit
was
yes.
Well, what I learned was that women that were there, A, didn't really care what they'd shoot. They were just there to have a good time.
Sure.
And they wouldn't get frustrated. You know, you'd get these 20 handicaps that get frustrated with you if you gave them a bad read. Meanwhile, they pulled the putt 4 feet, right?
Sure.
You'd get these women that were just there to have a good time. They were enjoying themselves. They hit it straight, which was really nice. And so I would tend to go...
Women are also just like generally better golfers
than
men.
I would say better humans. But
also humans.
And also better golfers.
Yeah, they have like a full functioning brain.
Yeah, their brains work better. They're nicer.
Yeah.
They understand the situation. They know that I'm not going to magically make them a better player. And so mostly just the sensibilities of them in general is better. So I go over and I meet this lady and shake her hand. And she's there with her husband and she... is American and she's really nice. And I was like, awesome. You know, it's going to be a great day. And I go to her bag and there's no strap. There's no carry strap.
Do you have to briefcase it for a whole day?
I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. I'm like, ma'am, where's the strap? Like, where's the
she said, that's your problem.
She's like, that's not in the, you know, I mean, you know, you kind of realize she's a cart golfer, which is you know, typical American golfer. You know, cart golfer makes sense.
Visiting, going to play St. Andrews.
I go to pick this thing up, like with, you know, you got to pick up the handle of this thing. This bag is like 80 pounds.
No way. What'd you have in it?
And I pick it and I put it down right away and I'm like, what's in here?
I'm going to interject. Shane loves bicep curls. So, like, this must have been heavy.
This was 06, man. This is a long time. There was no arm workouts in 06. And she packed her bag. Her golf bag and her travel bag all were the clothes.
Oh,
she didn't check a bag.
I love
she
this.
She packed her golf bag.
She's
and
like
her
me, saving
bag.
A little dough, baby.
Let's save a checked bag.
Save a little checked bag.
I'm like, I can't carry this. I physically can't do this for 18.
Which
holes.
Is saying something, guys, because you've seen Shane's biceps.
Luckily, and we don't, you know, you couldn't use a push cart or whatever on St. Andrews. And all this stuff. And my caddy master, God bless him, ran out and
did you transfer the bag out?
I mean, I'd never done that. I didn't even know we had bags to transfer it out. But all I could think was I was about 20 yards down the fairway going,
right,
I'm not going to be able to make
this. Guess, what'd she shoot?
Oh, man, it was a long time ago. You know, I've got a sheet at home.
Like over 100?
Yeah. I mean, I would say
less than 130?
I would say probably 105.
105, that's pretty good.
105.
So here's my question. So, while working there, did you fall way more in love?
And
with golf, okay.
Well, and Lynx golf.
Lynx golf is just so much better.
And you know what I love about it is we are, and I say we as an American.
You and their caddy. You're your player.
You know, like Parkland golf, you know, soft fairways, soft greens, lob wedge from whatever. You know, we are conditioned that our clubs go X amount of yards.
And
that's what it is.
So I want to point that out. So last week at the Bay Hill Arnold Palmer Invitational, Bryson DeChambeau said, "Who, honestly, I get along quite well with Bryson." He said that physics stopped working. The ball would land on the front third of the green and roll off the back. And totally agree. It's difficult.
I mean, you played and it was firm, right?
For sure. It was difficult. It was firm. It was all the above. You could also land it short of the green. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are the things that I think in Europe, like, are just so accepted.
Right.
But in America, like, literally no digs at Bryson. Like, we're just not used to it. Like,
you can also just land it
like
short.
A firm golf course, it means you land it 12 short of the pin. Right. But in reality, you could just, like, skid a 6-iron up from wedge distance. That's why I'm so jealous. I also caddied, not to brag, at Lakeside Golf Course. And what I'm so jealous of is that you got to see golf in, I think what everyone agrees is like the proper form of golf.
Right.
Where the golf ball's on the ground. You have to, as a caddy, you actually play a real role, an integral role in the
sport. Especially over there.
But when I caddied, I'd have to develop a friendship with the guy. I have to understand if he likes to pull it or push it.
Right.
Like I had to understand if he likes to cut it or draw it as we went along. And over a
How old were you when you were caddying?
14 was when I started.
Okay. Do you do it for a few years?
14 to 18. Okay. Yeah. So I would like understand this guy's game. My main guy was his name was Jack Nicholson.
Come on.
Swear.
Come on.
So not the guy, but you know, adjacent. So here's Johnny adjacent. But we would go along and I would like, you know, as obviously as the years went by, I would get his game. But I didn't know how to tell him to like, not that I needed to. I wouldn't tell him to run the ball along the ground. Right. I didn't know the golf course any better. I knew him better. I think that's what's so cool about you working at St. Andrews. You knew the golf course better than anybody. You didn't know your compatriots better. You knew the golf course. And I think that's so much cooler than me knowing what the heck he wanted to do with his six iron. Like, I want to know what the golf course wants me to do with the
day
golf
to day.
Ball.
Yeah. So if you're ever going to go to and I'll say American Links as well, if you're going to go to a band in place like that, be open to the idea that there are golf shots out there, and I'm talking to you, listener, not to Max. There are golf shots out there that are going to be different than what you typically hit.
Sure.
And you should listen to the person that's telling you to try them. Because what I think is so wild is there's almost a fear when golfers play different styled golf
100%.
Courses to just try it. What does it matter if you hit six iron from 80 yards and it doesn't work out? That's okay.
Hit it.
Just try it.
When you're, it's so funny. When you're off the green, you're in the rough. What is your first thought? Oh, I'm going to hit a lob wedge.
Well, right.
You can also hit a putter.
Yes.
You can hit an 8-iron.
You can hit anything.
You hit a pitching wedge.
There
literally
are so many
do
options.
Whatever you want.
That was one of my favorite loops. You asked, like, I had the guys that were not nice and they were really rich and they were rude and they thought everything you said was wrong because they hit a bad golf shot. My favorite loops were the people that would listen to everything you said. It could be right. It could be wrong. I, you know me. I mean, if I gave you a bad read or something,
yeah,
I would
you would shout
that.
It out.
You know,
you'd I'd be
say,
like,
that
no,
was on
I'm
me,
so
man.
Sorry.
That's my
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I had certain golfers that would come over and you'd go, "Hey, listen, I know this is weird. We're 40 yards.
Oh,
from
you
green.
Hit 7-iron from 130.
Well, let's putt it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Let's putt it and
yeah,
make Michael Phelps
sick.
Get up there, and it would be fairly close.
That's
you know,
sick.
And so that was fun for me, but. I can't wait. When you go play the Old Course for the first time, we are going to have do a podcast 30 seconds after you walk off the golf course because I'm so interested in hearing what you have to say about some of the holes and the shots you have to hit because, you know, it's my favorite place in the world.
Well, I'll say like obviously I've been watching golf since I was a kid on TV. The main golf course or golf tournament that I've watched that makes me literally drive to the course or to the range after it's done is the Open Championship,
right.
The British Open. When it's done, I leave, I go straight to the course and I hit these cool sawed off 7-irons, punch 4-irons.
Fillets. You say fillets, please.
Fillet 9-irons. Like I hit all the shots. It makes me feel like I'm going to hit these cool things that like I haven't done normally. And
hey, when you were a kid, when you were putting for the win, you know, when you were a kid and you'd putt.
It was the U.S. Open.
It was U.S. Open. Really?
Yeah.
Was there a specific U.S. Open that stood in your brain or was it just the U.S. Open in general?
That's a great question. I feel like it was Pinehurst. I mean,
99?
Payne Stewart was kind of my dude. But
this is actually.
It was the U.S. Open or the Masters. But what's so funny is now, like, my favorite tournament in the world is the British Open. Just only because, hey, listen. I'll take any of them. But the Masters is, I think, the most prestigious. The U.S. Open, to me, touches my heart the most. The PGA is, in my opinion, the best field. But the British Open, I think, is the best test of golf. Like, golf in the purest form. Like, not that I think that whoever wins the Masters isn't the best golfer. Not that whoever wins the U.S. Open is the best golfer. I just think that, like, playing the ball along the ground is cool. I think that it meshes the two worlds of the European Tour and the PGA Tour. I think that that is really, really, really cool. So if I could have one that I thought that like brought out the best in me would be the British Open.
Yeah, the one I see.
I think that would be cool. I think if I won the British Open, I would look at. I think that if I won the British Open, I'd look at everybody and be like, "I'm the best golfer." I think if I won the U.S. Open, I think I'm the toughest.
Okay.
I think if I won the PGA Championship, I think that I am
most talented,
the most talented, most informed. And I think if I won the Masters, I think I was like the mentally toughest because I think the Masters pushes your brain. But I think the British Open. Or the Open, as they say, pushes you with like skill. Like you need a lot of different shots. So I think that would like touch my like skill set the most.
Gotcha.
Which would be cool.
So real quick, since we were talking about majors and old majors, something I think we're going to do on Sunday, and make sure you follow us on social media to find out the actual times and such. But with no sports on,
let's watch them. Shane.
And us being a sports fan, I, sports fans, I think we are going to do
sports fans, golf fans,
golf fans. We're gonna
or just fans.
We're gonna do a quote unquote viewing party, and we're gonna
just me and Shane.
Just you and I, Scotty and Harlow. We're gonna watch the 08 U.S. Open,
which will be awesome.
And we're gonna send the leak out and tell people the time, and you can just
we
follow
want it
along.
To be like Shane being like, which is so unfair if. We're all being serious because he's already like a pro at this. But Shane's going to be the broadcaster. I'm going to try to do analysis.
I want you to just rip every player. Like go full Johnny.
I can't
Johnny.
Wait to rip him.
Just go full yeah, Johnny.
Full Johnny.
Everybody.
All right, I'm going to rip everybody.
Why do you hit it there?
You stink.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Last thing we're going to do as we kind of wrap this up, and we're trying to allow
you
to have a little bit of fun.
Do you have any fashion faux pas?
Yeah, so we're going to do our three worst fashion trends of our life. And these are...
But do you have one?
Do I have one personally?
Or do you have three?
Oh, I have...
I feel like Shane's like kind of a robot.
Dude, I've got...
Some 10.
And so I actually, you can't find these. I'm going to ask your wife after we get done with this if she might have pictures. And
please tell me you don't have some of me.
I have a bonus worst fashion trend. I brought this up to my wife last night.
Oh, no.
And I have a shirt in my closet still that she hates more than anything on the planet. And she goes, are you going to talk about that shirt? And we will.
But
so we wanted to bring up our three worst fashion trends we've ever gone through. And we're going to go snake draft.
Internal snake draft.
You can go first.
Right.
Something you went with, and this isn't just golf. This is at any point in your 29 years.
This is life.
What's something you went with that you thought
this
was cool, but as looking back was a horrible idea?
All right. I used to, this is tough to say.
Is a bad look?
I used to.
Let's hear it.
Oh,
Lacey, by the way, Lacey
now,
just walked,
now my
Lacey
wife
just walked
is
in.
Staring at me, and I think she's
real
gonna
quick.
Leave.
Can we hear what's your thought? Which one?
Yeah, Lacey. Fashion, yeah, fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're talking about hair. Oh, I used to bleach my tips.
You had
that
frosted
wasn't even
tips.
On my list.
You had frosted tips.
I said frosted.
What?
Tips.
What year was this, Lacey? What year was this?
When was Eminem hot in the streets?
How many years were you rocking frosted tips?
Well, you have to for a while if you frost them hard enough. back when I knew Josh. So my actual football.
I can't believe you had frosted tips. I'm actually not surprised.
I'm gonna be honest with our viewers because I know everyone's going through some things with this whole flu thing.
Right, coronavirus, yep.
I once dyed my entire blonde.
You went full blonde Eminem.
Full Eminem.
We gotta find a picture. I'm gonna ask your mom for a photo we can post on social.
All right.
All right, so let's go with the things you think were horrible.
My list. I used to have boot cut jeans when I would run over my Vans, which aren't boots.
Did you now? Obviously, this was. I'm assuming this was.
Bad.
This was
sounds
high school.
Worse as I say.
This was high school, right?
Junior high to high school.
So
yeah.
You didn't get them tailored. So you had the ripped bottoms, right? You would step on them.
They were ripped,
and they would rip up the bottoms.
Hey, you know what?
These weren't like JNCOs, were they?
No, not quite JNCO. Shout out PFT commenter. They were just like thick at the bottom, skinny in the middle.
Bryson style.
Bryson.
They're thick.
I was,
Bryson.
It was tailored till it got to my ankle, and then it got worse.
Were they so boot cut that they would cover the whole shoe?
Oh, they covered the whole shoe.
So it was like you were almost like
my
skating.
Shoes, oh, I used to skate as well, but it didn't work because I run over my jeans, bro.
So I'm going to go with one of my...
I want to know what your number one
I'm going with a fashion decision. And I have a picture of this I'll post.
God, yes.
My senior year photo, I went with the...
Senior of what? High school.
I went
high
with
school?
We did like the...
You guys have cameras for that?
Oh, we had cameras.
What an upset story.
It took hours for them to paint
us. Okay, that makes more sense.
I went with the Abercrombie sweatshirt for my senior photo, but it read Abercrombie across the whole thing. So my decision for the rest of my life.
You must had seven girlfriends.
You know, so I grew up in East Texas, and I was really proud because I was super early into Abercrombie & Fitch because you could only buy it in Dallas, which was a three-hour drive. And so I rocked so
only
much.
A 3 hour drive.
3 hour each way. You had to drive 6 hours to have Abercrombie and Fitch sweatshirts. So I was so proud of it. But the picture my mom had on our mantle as a senior in high school
was
an Abercrombie sweatshirt. Yeah. Snake draft, I'll continue on.
You continue going because that this, wasn't the saddest thing I've
this
ever
is
heard.
The worst. This is the worst.
This is worse.
This was a decision. This is something I decided
Michelle
to
LeBron.
To allow the world to... I thought this was...
I'm uncomfortable.
So I wrote for the student newspaper at University of Arizona for all 4 years. It was called the Daily Wildcat, okay? That was my job. I got paid to write for the student newspaper.
College
newspaper.
Bear down.
Bear down, baby. So...
Just bear down.
So we had an avatar. We had a picture of us on our columns and stories. My first picture my freshman year was horrible. I looked awful. So I decided to take a new one. I wanted to take
calf raises.
I thought I looked great. I thought I looked sexy. I thought I looked cute.
Hey, you probably did.
No, dude.
You probably did.
It was not good. It was straight spiked hair. Like real spiked. No. I'm saying looks like you got
electrocuted.
You
over-gelled yourself.
Super gel, straight up. And I had a choker necklace on.
What?
In the picture.
Hey.
In the picture.
To the listeners, Josh's eyes bugged out of
Josh
his
head. Josh just got a hand over his
we
mouth.
We have
right
all
now.
Decided.
I have a picture
that
of this.
The choker necklace is where we cut the ties.
I will show this online.
Get a Grip just took a whole new life. We thought Get a Grip meant along the club, but
no,
it meant along
fashion.
The net. And it was a fashion
statement. I get this picture. It's online. I get this picture sent to me occasionally from people. It's a horrible look. It's an awful look.
This should have been scrubbed from the internet.
Max, it was 3 years. 3 years in the newspaper, five times a week. I thought I looked great. On to you now.
I honestly don't know where to go from there.
Were you a white belt guy for a while?
I was. Ricky Fowler, honestly, our hero in Southern California, used to have a car that said white belt as his
license plate. Personalized license plate said white belt.
Let me tell you, Ricky Fowler is as cool as they come.
No. I agree with you. But
so, when he said white belt is cool, we all thought white belt is cool.
Okay.
But my actual second, and I feel like a lot of people resonate with this, is I just wrote puka shells.
You were a big puka shell
I had
guy?
A puka shell necklace picture, fifth grade, elementary school.
So
I rocked them. I never went to Hawaii. I just went to like a gift shop.
You
one
went to American
time.
Eagle.
Yeah. I was in an airport one time, bought puka shells.
So
I felt cool. So.
Did your two cross over ever? Did you ever have the frosted tips while wearing the puka shell necklace?
I can only imagine.
Can you
that
text
I did.
Your mom and get pictures of this? When we get done with this, do you
want
to ask your mother?
Do I have to?
Yes, we need to post this on social media.
My mom's going to be so happy. I'm going to be so sad.
It's okay. We're supposed to look
yes,
terrible.
I'm sure my mom
all right,
has
real quick, I need you to. I want you to look at this picture of this shirt that my wife says is the worst.
So,
and
is
you're
it because it's
snake.
Too baggy or is no, it because dude, it's like the wrong color?
No, she thinks this is a bad shirt. Tell me.
I'm going to agree with Cindy, man.
This. Here, take
yeah,
it.
It's terrible.
She says it looks like hotel curtains.
No, it's terrible.
She calls them a hotel curtain.
It is hotel curtains. Shane, buddy.
I still have it in my closet.
Buddy, if we're going to be completely honest, I know not all of you guys know who Cindy is, Shane's wife. Cindy, very beautiful woman. Shane, obviously beautiful voice. before this picture, I would have thought, hey, match made in heaven. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking, Cindy, gosh. Get some context.
So are you thinking that, and listen.
Your sunglasses don't work. Your forehead's white as mine. You have
Wait.
You have eight different colors in your shirt, Shane.
This is a fashion conversation. Now you're going after my sunglasses and my forehead?
Listen.
I thought we were sticking to fashion.
Listen, I'm taking advantage of the opportunity that I have.
Now personal attacks? So you have your last horrible fashion or your decision.
Yeah.
Do you have anything recent? Like anything recent that you've been going with and you decided against?
This is it.
Okay.
This is it. And I wrote, write this down. Literally any golf stuff.
Wait, any golf clothes?
Any golf clothes. So I used to have to walk in high school through the entire campus, and my team was the Vikings, so we were purple and gold. I used to have to walk by my crush, my friend who was dating my crush. I had to walk by them with my golf bag in hand and my purple and gold cotton 1,000% cotton.
Wait. What do you mean? You were walking through the halls with your golf bag?
Oh, we don't have halls. I'm from Southern California. It's all outdoors.
Nice.
So we would just walk outdoors with our 100% polyester cotton shirt.
How much? What size were you in high school? Shirt? Did you go medium and you should have been small?
I used to say large. I was medium.
Oh, you'd go with the bag.
Remember Tiger when he won?
Oh,
the 2000.
That thing was like an XL.
It was XL.
You know, I just heard.
I just wanted people to see my wrist ankles.
I heard that Tiger used, because his legs were so big and strong, that his thighs were so strong.
They were.
That he would buy 36s and then cut the waist down to 30s.
But have you seen his legs? They're skinny.
I think his calves are fairly skinny, but I think his thighs are pretty
thick.
He's
got thick thighs.
I think it's thick with two C's.
Thick thighs. Oh, two C's.
That's the cool way to say it, right?
I've been trying to push that for a while.
But I feel like now you talk about golf clothes.
Clothes in general. I mean, if you're in high school right now, at this moment, I'm 29 years old. Like at this moment, golf clothes are cool.
Yeah, your stuff looks
I'm
good.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Travis Matthew clothes, they fit me nice. Like they make me look like a cool dude. But when you're in high school, you're 16 years old, you're trying to go on a date.
Are you self-proclaiming you're cool right there?
Is that
a self-proclamation?
The literal opposite.
But you said you were a cool dude right there. We heard it on the podcast.
My personality carries me to cool. But if you're looking at just the surface, you see me, I'm wearing a purple golf shirt.
Not good.
Carrying a golf bag when I'm 17 through high school. Yeah, I'm not cool, man. Like, we're all good. That was the worst fashion statement there was.
When you were in high school, obviously you were really good at golf and you were playing national events. Did you play AJGA stuff?
I played some.
And you won? Did you win some?
Yeah. Did they have those back when you
played? Yeah. I played in AJGA, baby. Shout out Abilene newspaper, Abilene Reporter News Journal. I was low round one day. They interviewed me.
What?
Thanks for coming. Bogey free 67. Not like I hang my hat on that still.
No, sure. Your mom doesn't have those clippings.
I bet my mom for sure still has the clippings and maybe the video.
I can't wait to ask my mom if she has your clippings.
This is not a joke. I think Eliza Bacon may have gone out and bought a VCR and recorded that interview in our hotel room after I did it. That is a true
No shame.
Mom for life. Nicest mom lady for ever. Life. That's, shout out,
hey,
Liza.
You know what? That's sick.
I'm sending Liza a Get a Grip hat. By the way, we have Get a Grip hats now. We're not selling them or
giving
them away.
Oh, we do have hats.
But we do have hats. So you can see pictures of us wearing them. We are going to eventually get to it. We were just first run from... Shout out. Thanks for Imperial for doing that.
Shout out.
Was nice of them. So you were winning junior tournaments and you were playing well in these things. Did that not make you cool considering you were kind of a national athlete at your sport? Did people not care?
No, they didn't care at all.
No, that was hard.
Yeah. So I walked up to them and said, hey, did you hear that I got second at the national event? And they said, cool, man. Like,
so nobody cared.
Get away from me.
Okay.
Like that's kind of how it worked. So then I would go play pickup basketball.
Okay.
Where I would try to flex my second best sport on them. And
they still
also, hey, Shane, didn't go
still
well.
Didn't care.
Didn't
what,
go
what
didn't
was care. Your on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the coolest guy in the school, everybody had a coolest guy in the school and coolest guy in your class. Where were you on
6.
A scale?
6.9, I would assume.
Nice. You were right at a good spot.
I was sitting pretty, as they say.
So you were
I was the guy whose English teacher liked them a lot.
Okay.
While their English classmates didn't really like them.
Okay.
That was me. Like I worked hard. Josh, even over here, wasn't my friend until
Josh. Is this true?
His brother Zach.
Now, Josh, I want to ask you. Now, I know you don't have a mic by you. What would you give Max on a scale from 1 to 10 in high school on cool level? Do you think his ranking was accurate?
Josh lied to everybody.
No. You give him a five.
Hey,
right in the middle.
I'll take it.
In the middle.
So, I was the only golfer that people would hang out with.
Wow. I mean, do you have any golf friends from your high school team?
His brother Zach was my best friend. And then we would hang out, which is pretty sick. And then he introduced me to Josh.
We don't know what that means. Why was
you don't know what it means.
Was that cool?
Hey, listen. You don't
was that cool?
Zach is cool.
What was Zach on a scale from 1 to 10?
Zach was probably a 6.
Wow. Just
he's a cop now, though. So
he's a cop now. Awesome. All right. Well, this is officially gone off the rails.
This has gone off the rails. But the importance is that I was a 5, baby.
Well, you said you were almost a 7.
I almost was. I mean, 5 is closer to 7 than it is 1.
If you got a 5 on a test,
Shane, what do you think the people would have said about you in high school? Zero to 10.
I think I'd go with a 6.
Oh,
and be
you're
happy
such
with
a
it.
Liar.
I think
Good
a
God.
6 I'm happy with.
Yeah. Your high school was big on calves.
I was really short in high school. You know, I was like 5 foot tall to my junior year in high school.
No way.
Yeah, I grew like 10 inches.
My gosh, no wonder you're so obsessed with hitting it far.
Yeah, it's the only thing I care about now.
You got.
I hit it 208 in high school.
The only thing you got.
So I just bunt it down the fairway and hit 4 iron from 135.
You have the height for radio. Like, perfect. This is starting to make
glasses. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. All right, anything else you got?
As sports fans, golf fans, or just fans,
we are going to
please
do this
wash your hands.
Are we going to do this on Sunday?
I would love to do this.
Watch the OA US Open.
I want to, again, I'm going to preface this again. We understand that this is like not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but we also want people to laugh. We want people to have fun. I'm going to have fun. Shane's going to have fun.
Yeah. We're just
Josh even might have fun.
The plan is sometime on Sunday afternoon, evening,
we're going to rewatch some stuff.
We're going to send out a time. We're going to send out a YouTube link. You can watch the 2008 US Open,
which
with
is
us.
My favorite golf tournament.
Yeah. I mean, broken leg US Open.
Yeah.
Winner.
Broken leg.
Unbelievable putt. And I also know that there are networks working on a plan to put out old sporting events, old
and
highlights.
I actually emailed the Golf Channel.
What email did you send it to? Was it just?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was it media@golfchannel.com?
Yeah, media@golfchannel.com. But I actually asked them if they would just rerun the 2019 Wells Fargo Championship like until the end of time. And they said they think about it. And I think that means no.
Now, what was your lead going into Sunday? Was it 3?
Oh, going into Sunday, I was tied.
You were tied.
I won by 3, not a big deal.
Say it again?
I won by 3, not a big deal.
Okay, but what were you on 18T? Were you 3 clear?
Up 3, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe,
again,
I don't think that one's going to.
Not super exciting.
I don't think that one's
going to
make their first run
everyone,
show.
Yeah,
but I think
water,
it could
yeah.
make the maybe next week.
Hey, you know what? That's fair.
Yeah, maybe like next
it's
Thursday.
It's not really fun to watch tournaments where just like one guy, super handsome, blows everyone out. Like, that's not that fun.
But we're talking about the Wells Fargo Championship.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking
about. Or any tournament Adam Scott's ever
won. We were talking about when you won, though.
Yeah.
Follow Max on social media, @MaxHoma23 on Twitter.
Or
@Max.Homa on Instagram. It's happened. He's already passed me on Instagram followers.
Follow Shane Bacon, who has his own name.
Hey, and can you, since your wife is in the other room, and she's a lovely, awesome human being, can you give her just a quick compliment and thanks for always helping you with your social media stuff, especially Instagram?
Not only the social media stuff, she does legitimately everything. I don't know how to post a story, she does. She's also a lot prettier than I am, so when I'm in public, they're like,
imagine if this guy
must be funny.
Imagine if she won the Wells Fargo Championship.
Would
have been aired.
I would have called her after and been like, you know what, I get it, leave me please.
you've
entered a new sector of fame. You just leave me, please. Like, you are officially the coolest person I know.
Wow, this is this is like your speech at your wedding. We're getting into wedding speech territory.
You know what?
Do you want to go get paper and read it?
Let me just end with this. I'm very thankful to my wife for making me feel cool.
And last thing I'm going to say, we were talking about bad fashion choices. Your vest at
Lacey's
your wedding.
Bad fashion choice is me.
No, but your vest at your wedding with the pictures
pretty
on the
sick,
inside.
Yeah.
Was
shout
a
out the
great
created gentleman.
Choice. Great choice. We'll let you guys know about Sunday.
I'm so bad at
also, if you could, on Twitter or wherever, send in questions, because we're going to do a full question podcast next week where we just answer questions.
Only questions.
Because we don't, you know, there's no real golf to talk about. We're going to play in a member guest together in a couple of weeks,
will.
And I've got an event over the weekend, but there's not much going on. So send in questions, use the #GetAGripPod, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Bye.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.